Right now, it's time for History Matters, and we turn now to the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, who joins us here now in the studio for that. How are you? Happy Valentine's Day.
I was going to say, and isn't it great the show we love to listen to is on today?
On Love Day, yes.
Yes, on Day. And, you know, it's a great week for so many great things in history. And, of course, you know, it's this historic meeting when people come together, that's where great sparks fly and lives change. And this is a good thing whenever that happens.
Yep.
And we celebrate it today, but really it can be any day.
Absolutely.
And that's a great thing. And this
and a lot of these things are people meeting and sparks flying, right?
Oh, yes. Well, now, you know,
hopefully for better and sometimes for better.
That's right. Yeah. Well, now here's one that I think is remarkable. In 1990, this is February 11th, 1990, Nelson Mandela is released from a South African prison after serving 27 and a half years. Mm-hmm. And then remarkably goes on to become, of course, the first African-American president, African president for South Africa, 1994 to 1999. And what an astounding person coming out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And I think this is worth celebrating, is that kind of love of country that he had and left him a person that could be so gracious and magnanimous. And when it could have made anybody else very bitter, and he came out better.
And to be able to unify such a divided country. And it's not like the divisions went away.
No.
I mean, took and takes a significant amount of,
exactly.
of work and labor.
Oh,
and, yeah.
yes. And here's another thing that happens this day. This one was, I must admit, a newer one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on this date in 1813, a woman was born named Harriet Jacobs. She's born in Eden, North Carolina, and born into slavery. And then through various occurrences, she becomes subject to abuse. And so she escapes and hides in an attic of an aunt for 7 years. I mean, this reminds me a lot of Anne Frank, mm-hmm. except that in this case, she doesn't die, but she escapes finally north and then becomes a writer, pens her own autobiography, Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, kind of notable when it's published in 1861, simply because this is a firsthand account written by someone mm-hmm. who's experienced that and actually is friends with Frederick Douglass, whose mm-hmm. birthday is, he actually claims, well, he didn't know the exact date, but he claims actually February 14th. So,
okay.
Isn't that interesting? We do have a tie-in.
Yeah.
But I've just found that story extraordinary. And of course, over in Hillsborough here in Orange County, we always know about Elizabeth Keckley. Lesser known is Harriet Jacobs, but a profoundly important
lesser
person.
Known, I think, here. But I think I had read Harriet Jacobs' autobiography. I read it in college. And it's
what impact did that have on you when you read it?
It's a terrific, it's a really terrific and emotional
moving.
And
right.
gripping and moving narrative. And there were a bunch of slave narratives that came out in the 1800s in the run-up to the Civil War and continuing after it. I think the one that we remember the most is Frederick Douglass's autobiographies. But I think of the others, Harriet Jacobs might be one of the ones that's still the most remembered today.
Right.
And for good reason.
Tremendous. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. This happens this week when we see things that pop up that are notable in history. Another one is on February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's when Abraham Lincoln's birthday is.
Right.
Also, Darwin. Lincoln is notable not only because of what happened and his championing the 13th Amendment, and of course, that eliminated slavery. But, you know, later on, as later years, African Americans were remembering Lincoln, that began the origins of what we know as Black History Month, because they were celebrating the birthday of this president who mm-hmm. was so instrumental in helping change history in a profound way.
Well, we talked about this with James Williams of the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP a couple of days ago, and he was on the air on February 12th, which was Tuesday,
right.
That on Lincoln's 100th birthday in 1909, but February 12th of 1909 was the founding of the NAACP, which celebrated its 110th anniversary this year. So,
and that's also Lincoln, now that you bring that up, is also the first president who was actually featured on a coin. The penny in 19, I think it was around 1909 as well. I think that's one of the more interesting kind of footnotes of history, is recognizing that, yes, he was a person who was celebrated. And because up to that point, they had different personages or images on the coins. He's the first one that's actually had been a living president.
It's also a fascinating. You could probably tell the story of us, the story of American history, just in terms of the way that Americans have reacted to and told themselves the story of Abraham Lincoln, because that's changed so much over the course of history.
And you know, you really touched on something important, Aaron, which is how when we become aware of this history, it becomes our story. It becomes something that shapes who we are and our identity in a profound way. And you know this, and I know this, and I think many listeners do. When you get involved, you say, wow, that's part of now my larger story, that that encourages us, that inspires us, that makes it something. Yeah.
But it's a two-way street. I mean, we interpret the past based on who we are, and the past informs who we are as well.
That's right. Yeah, it's not a morally neutral thing.
And I was reading a book not that long ago about the Lincoln Memorial in particular, and when it was dedicated in 1920, I think, thereabouts, right at the absolute low point of race relations in American history, and that, in many ways, includes the 300 years of slavery. It got very, very bad in the first couple of decades of the 20th century. CF, the erection of Silent Sam in 1913, but also when the Lincoln Memorial was built, the dedication ceremony was very, very conspicuously segregated. African American soldiers were, some of them were there, but they were like shoved off to the side. Capitol Police were denigrating them very publicly. The entire dedication ceremony was about how Abraham Lincoln just wanted white people to get along and come back together. But over the course of the last 100 years,
how that changed, how that shifted.
Because the Civil Rights Movement claimed the Lincoln Memorial, claimed the Lincoln Memorial, and made the memorial sort of the central, a central site of the Civil Rights Movement. You've got the march in 1963, you've got earlier marches, and that is part of and like that is part of this kind of reinterpretation of Lincoln as not white people coming together and joining hands, but as a civil rights figure, as someone who was maybe took a while to come to it, but ultimately fought for the abolition of slavery. And now if you go to the Lincoln Memorial, you go to the downstairs area, and they've got that whole display about race and Lincoln and America to kind of continue to tell the story in that way.
And when you mentioned the Lincoln Memorial, Henry Bacon was an architect and designer of the Lincoln Memorial. He died this week, February 16, 1924, but he was the one who won the commission. He actually lived in Wilmington.
And
he moved with his family to Brunswick County in 1870. He was born in Illinois in 1866, but he grew up there and then went to Boston, won this award, the design, in 1912, and oversaw the completion of the Lincoln Memorial over the next 10 years or so. So right around that time, which is fascinating. And also the other connection with Lincoln is, of course, here in Orange County, Elizabeth Keckley, who was the dressmaker, who was the best friend of Mr. Lincoln's good, dear wife, and was actually a strong abolitionist in her own right, and I think a very strong presence in that household. So that's another thing. And also another thing that happens this week along those lines, we can't let this go by either. It's so, so important. February 12th is when, well, actually it's on...
You're looking at the 13th?
No, I'm not. I'm looking at, this is February 12th, but I'm thinking of this, that's right, February 12th, 1946 was when a man named Isaac Woodard was born in Fairfield County, South Carolina, but he grew up in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and he attended local schools, which were segregated, of course. And then he goes off, he enlists in the Army in World War II, and becomes decorated. He's in the Pacific Theater. He earns a battle star by unloading ships under enemy fire in New Guinea, receives a Good Conduct Medal as well as a Service Medal and World War II Victory Medal, awarded to all American participants, and he received an honorable discharge. So he comes home. Now, here he is, a decorated serviceman, and then he is attacked by South Carolina police officers that leaves him permanently blind. And there is outrage across the nation when the all-white jury does not convict the sheriff of the injuries accorded him. And Orson Welles broadcasts it. Woody Guthrie sings about it, The Blinding of Isaac Woodard. Dr. Richard Wright Sr., himself born into slavery and who served as a major in the in the U.S. military, wrote President Truman about it. As a result, that's when, I think we mentioned this a little bit too, about how President Truman orders in a federal investigation. The Civil Rights Division becomes part of the Justice Department as a result. And also National Freedom Day, February 1st, proposed by Dr. Wright, is adopted. And we have the desegregation of the armed forces. All of that good stuff came out of something really terrible.
Yep, absolutely.
All of that this week. And that's something to say, to celebrate, even on a day that normally we would reserve for romantic things, but to say, hey, there's some really amazing stories of people who have done tremendous things that we can't help but admire and love and say, wow, these are people that have made a difference in history.
Yep. But it took, in a lot of cases, and this one in particular, it took something really awful to happen to galvanize people around it. And this is, they talked
That's
about
right.
the Double V campaign, right, during World War II.
That's right.
Civil rights activists said it's not just victory overseas.
That's
it's also
got to
be victory at home because we're fighting a war here too.
That's right.
And this is an example of that. I was guessing that you were looking at February 13th because there's another significant thing that happened locally on that day, which was the Allen Building takeover
at Duke
campus
50
years ago yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because campus officials were dragging their heels on making progress on race relations on campus. Finally, black student activists said, great, we're going to take over the administration building.
That's
and
right.
they did. And I was talking about this with a couple people earlier this week because it's the 50th anniversary this week. Duke officials were not big fans of that move 50 years ago. Now they're holding all kinds of events on campus this week to commemorate the 50th anniversary of this, now significant and great moment in university, or at least like university community history.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and also we had the statue of Robert E. Lee coming off the front of the chapel.
Yep.
And there the space remains.
Yeah.
And it makes a profound statement in its own way. And I think that's a good thing as well. So these are the other good things. Also, well, we would have to say Galileo was born 1564 this week. The fellow who says, gee, I think the Earth is revolving around the sun, and that brought him into some conflict with the established religious authorities that said, oh, no, it's the other way around. Everything revolves around the Earth. And Galileo had to recant, but of course, science prevails. That's at Playmakers, I believe, too, as well.
Yes, that's right. Starting later on this month. Yeah.
That's right. So these are good things to celebrate this week. In a week when we go, amidst everything else, these are things to lift up and say, there is hope. And courageous people have stood up. Like I think of these people like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Jacobs and even Elizabeth Keckley, who all get out of slavery and yet come back and say, this is not right, and stand up and become these forceful voices by example and by words.
We're speaking with Scott Washington, talking History Matters. We've got time for one more, but I'm going to claim it because
please do.
on February 12th, two days ago, 1795, we have to mention Hinton James begins taking classes at
UNC.
And he's the first student to enter class. So this is the week that classes officially begin at UNC.
And you know what I love is the fact that he walks from his home in New Hanover County, and he's the only student for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, let's have a vote of the hands.
Probably why they didn't get started until February 12th. Like, everyone's sitting around waiting. It's like, it's September, it's October. Is it going to get
you? Come on, everybody. I think that's pretty interesting. And after graduation, he becomes an assistant to a Scottish engineer who's trying to make navigation improvements on the Eastern Rivers.
Shipping lanes,
yes,
right?
Shipping,
yeah, that's
which
right.
We talked about all these amazing things that happened on the rivers. Yeah. But isn't that amazing to think that, yes, there really was a first student at UNC?
Had to start somewhere.
I wonder if...
Although first student, like one person, you know, in the class, yeah, like every other empty desk...
Do the students that come in now, do they have a number? Your number, I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah,
number
3,000,
and 10,095, and yeah, something like that.
Professor walks in and is like, where are all the other students? Hinton's just sitting there like, well, it was Carolina Duke Day yesterday. Everyone's just taking the day off today.
Yes, he started all the traditions, burning things.
There you go.
Let's have a game, and there's only one person shows up, and he's it.
And that is History Matters for this week. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is a station we all love.